Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Friendury.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and welcome to Friendury.
Yeah.
Dan's attempt to have nice films.
Yeah. I channeled all my goodwill.
You took all of your Christmas spirit
yeah.
and channeled it into Friendury.
Aren't you lucky? So we watched Nice Guys.
Nice Guys.
An attempt to make Rick watch something that he likes.
It was The Road to a Seven. Yeah. I thought it was quite telling that you said it was The Road to a Seven. Like, not this was going to be a seven.
Yeah.
It was like the start of the journey to the seven.
Because I know you. I know it's a hard road. It's an El Camino. It's a hard, arduous road that won't be satisfying.
Unless you've gone through the journey of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Nice Guys.
Yes.
Directed by Shane Black, returning favorite from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, the movie you love.
It was all right.
It was disappointing for me. It was one of those movies where I rewatched, I was disappointed a bit. Mm.
Yeah, it had a lot of inappropriate jokes, dated jokes.
Dated jokes, yeah. But I like Shane Black. He created Lethal Weapon, wrote it, Predator. He's really good.
With Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, written and directed Iron Man 3. He's really good at funny meta. He's the inventor of the buddy cop.
Yeah, pretty much.
This movie came out in 2016.
Okay.
And nothing was said before this edit point. Stars Russell Crowe.
Yep.
Or Rusty Crowes.
Rusty Crowes.
And Ryan Gosling.
Yep.
So Rick, what did you think of
The Nice Guys? Would you like a one sentence review?
I'm scared. Is this the sudden end of Friendury?
This may have been the best film you've ever recommended.
Yay!
Now, there's asterisks, as with many things, there's asterisks. When we watched this film, I mean, how long ago did we watch this film, like in real world?
Week and a half.
Week and a half, something like that. This film has Palm Springs to me.
Aww.
In that I watched it, I enjoyed it. I don't remember it.
Okay.
I to the point where, like, as I was coming over here, I thought, oh, we're doing, you know, one episode because we're doing two episodes. On the second, what was the second episode? I couldn't remember what the second episode was. What film did we watch, for God's sake? My God. And I had to look on my phone at, like, my previous notes to even remember what film we had watched, let alone, like, anything about it.
Oh, wow.
That's not to say it's not a good film. And I do enjoy it. And like I say, it is probably one of the best films, in my opinion. I enjoyed it the most. Maybe saying it's one of the best films isn't the right way to go. But you definitely have kind of like hit the nail on the head of something I would enjoy.
Yay. The scientists were right. That I collaborated with. How do we talk about this movie? Should be called Ryan Gosling, The Show.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, when I watched the film, like, so let's get it out of the way. Ryan Gosling is a very funny actor.
He's hilarious.
He is a really funny actor. Barbie, he was funny.
Not as funny as in this.
I disagree.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I also think he's funnier. We recently watched a film, The Fall Guy.
He's hilarious in Blade Runner 2049 as well. Just watch a compilation of his expressions throughout the movie.
There are none.
There are none.
This is a cardboard cutout of his face.
Yeah. He wasn't there, so.
Yeah, so, you know, very good.
Carried the film.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it had a really good balance between him and Crowe, to be honest. He is the slapstick comedy guy. Whereas Crowe is like the situational comedy guy. I think the way it's written, Crowe is funnier. But Gosling takes what he gets to another level, you know?
I feel like he needs Rusty Crowe. He needs him to be that funny. But I feel like he is the standout, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah?
Yeah, but he needs Rusty Crowe, yeah. I'm never going to...
You're not going to stop calling him that?
No. So Rusty Crowe. So, this movie starts with Iron Man 3 kid. bit more grown up.
So, it must have been after Iron Man 3, like way after Iron Man 3.
He was a bit more of a teenager, that kid now.
Mm-hmm. Starring the kid from the funeral scene that everybody had to Google.
Yeah, was that? Yeah, I had to because his face completely changed.
Yeah, he's completely grown up.
Yeah, he sees some boobs in this movie.
So he does see some boobs in this
movie. Boobs happen in this movie. In what I thought was an intro where I forgot about it. I'm like, oh, this is truly the arduous part of the Road to Seven. Because you're not going to like this.
No, it was all right.
Yeah.
Made sense. Well, didn't make sense at all. So the car drives through the house and the kid kind of walks down the hill. Like, yeah. Where are his parents? How come his parents don't wake up because a car drives through the house?
It was the 70s.
It was the 70s.
They were on Quaaludes.
They were with the neighbors.
Yeah, they were dropping acid, going on Woodstock.
Because I think he even, like, closes the door quietly, so he's not to wake them up.
Yeah, does he?
I think so, yeah. And a car drives through the house, and nobody but him reacts.
Yeah. What I thought didn't make sense was the porn star laying out, dying, like, in a sexy pose.
Completely naked.
Completely
why was
naked.
She driving? Does it ever explain why she was driving completely naked?
Because porn star.
Okay, well, there you go. Her name, by the way, is Misty Mountains.
Misty Mountains. I love the comedy of this film. It's really funny.
Yeah, it's very well done, start to finish.
Is it the Lethal Weapon formula, body cop duo formula, perfected? Do you think he perfected it?
No, I think Lethal Weapon perfected it.
Hmm. I need to rewatch Lethal Weapon.
I mean, I might disagree if I rewatch Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But what I think is the best buddy cop film, and you're going to hate me for this, what I think is the best buddy cop film is Rush Hour. Because that has everything. That has comedy, has a serious guy, a funny guy.
It has Jackie Chan.
It has action. Yeah, Jackie Chan's in it. And there's loads of cool stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that's the perfected.
This one has cool stunts. We'll get to that. I feel like this is the movie Shane Black wanted to make for like 30, 40 years. He's been trying so hard. And finally he made it through the skin of his teeth. Because you can see the low budget on this film really hard sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you not notice?
No.
That should be my question every time. Did you not notice things? There are lots of green screen. Like at places where it really shouldn't be.
Okay.
You can see even the green tint on, like, reflected on actors.
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Okay.
Just awful green screen. Just the limited locations. They do what they can with it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they blew out their budget on that party.
Okay.
Pretty much.
They blew their budget on Russell Crowe.
Yeah, and then the driving was awful. Outside, yeah.
But isn't that the point of it? Because I did notice that, but I thought that was kind of the point of it. I thought it was like a homage to 70s films and kind of action where it would have been...
The driving maybe, but the green screen definitely isn't.
Mm.
But, you know, that's something, just what can you do? It had a low budget. Even though it had a low budget, it didn't make its money back. It was a giant flop.
Yeah. People like this film, though. Like,
people like this film, but at the time when it came out, no one watched it.
Mm.
Including me, I watched it later.
Okay, so what I got really excited about when this film started is it was introducing the characters, you know, like films do. Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe, Margaret Qualley.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea.
She's absolutely fantastic. So shortly before we watched this film, like a day or so before, I watched The Substance, which she's in. And she is just absolutely amazing. Like, mm-hmm. She's fantastic in that film. Everything about that film is over the top and it's too much. And she just does it to perfection every single time. In this, she's massively underused and it's a pointless her being there.
Yeah, but you gotta come from somewhere. Like, they didn't know.
Yeah.
She was that good. Like, you know, you gotta start somewhere. It was interesting seeing her in this. I was like, oh yeah, she's a person. She's a person I recognize.
Oh yeah, the woman, she's a person as well.
One name I got excited about. I was very disappointed by.
Yeah?
I might be even more negative in this, but I like this film. I'm just... there's a few missed opportunities. And I don't think Margaret Qualley is as much of a missed opportunity as Keith David.
Who?
Keith David.
Oh, is he the one you like?
He's the one you like.
He's the one you like that does all the speeches.
They got a guy whose acting career is full of great speeches and great... just vocal work in general. He's like has great delivery and just memorable lines, just the way he says things, and make him to be the henchman. Barely says anything.
He says a lot of things, just not great things.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you liking him from American Fiction.
American Fiction.
He popped up in
there. Oh my god, he was, that was so funny when he popped up out of nowhere. Yeah. He's in The Thing. He's the other guy surviving in the thing.
Yes, he is.
And he's hilarious in the last season of Community. Give Keith David the monologue. Give him like a, "You motherfuckers." That's my Keith David.
That's a perfect impression. Yeah. Oh my God, it's like he's in the room.
Rick.
Hello.
Do you like to listen to bonus episodes on patreon.com/IHATEYOURMOVIE?
I love it more than anything else.
It makes my life so good.
I've grown 12 inches since listening to...
Where?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Did you know that on patreon.com/IHATEYOURMOVIE, we have our best episodes on the show for £1 plus tax? You can enjoy all our bonus episodes we do every month. We do things like trivia.
Current champion.
Oh, yeah. F*** you. I forget. I hate you. We do things like...
Random film generators.
Random film generators.
We've watched films like Resident Evil 3 and Halloween No One Cares.
Halloween 2, the bad one. The other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
Not the other bad one.
No, the other bad one.
We get movie suggestions from our patrons and much more.
More.
So join this great community of people for £1 plus taxes a month. patreon.com/IHATEYOURMOVIE. Have you noticed that non-American actors trying to do American accents, they do like a gruff version of their own voice?
Non-American people doing American accents. Yeah. Okay.
So in here, Rusty Crows, who's from New Zealand.
Australian Zealand.
Australia. He's from there. And he's like, his voice goes down like one level deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this trend now. Hugh Laurie is the same. Where he's like, in Brit, he's like, "Oi, I'm Hugh Laurie." And then if he's playing House, he's like,
"I'm House.
Hello, I'm House. What? How can I help you?" You know? And I've got one more.
I think that works for House though, because House is a surly guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It works for him.
I think it works for this as well, because...
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm saying it's a trend.
Yeah, because men play manly roles.
I've got one more.
Go on.
That less fits into this category.
Okay.
Simon Pegg in The Boys.
I don't feel that's the case. I feel like he was in bed like, "Oh my God."
No, he does a gruff voice.
Yeah?
More like a few notches below his average.
Octaves.
Few octaves below. Okay. His speech, yeah. Like, Huey, blah, 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 blah. And then...
Another perfect impression. Between this and your Michael Caine impression, you should start up like a comedian tour or something, just doing impressions of people. Blah, 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 blah.
So why is this? What's happening? If you cross the Atlantic, your voice just drops. Your balls drop. What happened?
The higher concentration of helium in the British Isles.
Yeah, it's so weird. What's next?
What's next? We haven't even started. We started with Margaret Qualley's in it.
that was the intro credits. What's the next plot point is what I meant.
Okay, so the car went through the house. There's loads of stuff in this that I both love and hate.
Okay.
Right? Stuff that comes up and it's like quirky and it's interesting, but it never explains it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ryan Gosling wakes up in the bath, fully dressed.
Does that need to be explained? That just informs his character.
Yes, it does need to be explained. Because nobody comes home drunk and runs a bath to a perfect level and then gets in it fully clothed.
What does that tell you about his character?
That he's insane.
It tells you he's a loser and he doesn't care for himself physically. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a trouble. He's kind of improvisational. What's the?
I do know what you mean. It's really, yeah.
Yeah. So he's very impulsive.
Nothing was said before that either.
Nothing was said before. Perfect edit point. Yeah. So he tells you about his character, all these great things. And that's the point of that scene. That's why he wakes up in the tub. And it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like quirky. It was like, "Oh, what happened there?" You know, it doesn't need to be explained.
Mm-hmm. And he has a thing on his hand. It's like, "You'll never be happy."
Yeah.
Like, who wrote it? Why is
I think he wrote it. I think that's obvious.
I liked the idea of like it being something else. Like he's tried to chat up a girl at a bar.
Yeah.
And she's gone, give me your hand, I'll write you my phone number mm-hmm. on there. And she's just writing that and walked away.
That's a good idea as well. There you go. I don't think these things need to be set in stone. I think it's interesting to think about these things, you know?
Okay. And then why does he fold his money into origami?
Because he's a quirky guy.
I mean, there is some really funny lines in this film.
Yes.
And we said we weren't going to do out-and-out comedy, but I feel like there's some lines in this that just stand out. You know, when Russell Crowe first, they meet each other the first time, and Russell Crowe beats him up, and he's like, are you done now? And he's like, yep, stick a fork in me, I'm done. but don't actually stick a fork in me. Just little lines like that, and it's delivered really well.
Yeah, like very naturally.
Yeah. What did you think of Russell Crowe in this film?
To me, he's the straight guy, the straight-faced guy. That's why he's good with Ryan Gosling to bounce the two back and forth, you know? Because the one is a silly, is that word again? Imbecile?
Well, yeah, that too. Impulsive.
Impulsive guy. And Russell Crowe is like the pragmatic kind of straightforward guy.
Well, he seems like the one that actually gets shit done.
Well, yeah. But Ryan Gosling is not useless completely. He's always like half right, which is weird.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a problem with it as well, though, because like half of it's like Ryan Gosling just turns up with some knowledge about something and he's like, oh no, they're not at the airport, they're at the hotel. That's because these numbers are different.
Yeah.
But he gets more lucky than he does.
He does, but he knew it wasn't a flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they only found out what it was because they were accidentally driving past the place that it actually was.
He's you can think of him like a Dirk Gently kind of character.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, he's got cosmic luck on his side, and he just stumbles into the right answers. Russell Crowe was all right. He gained weight for this role.
And kept it.
I think he fluctuates. He's more the typical detective kind of guy, even though he's not the detective.
No, he's some bruiser.
Yeah, he gets paid to beat up pedophiles.
Just people in general.
I got the idea that it's mostly pedophiles. And yeah. It's like he has some sort of vigilante element to it where he's like wants to punish the bad people.
Mm.
Maybe not even consciously, because that's kind of his arc.
Yeah. The daughter.
Daughter was amazing.
Yeah. I thought it was really well written
mm-hmm.
for like to have this kid in it, because kid actors are annoying most of the time.
She's more of a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she
more of an adult in the end. Like more, she's more adult than Ryan Gosling is.
Yeah, she's smarter than him.
Yeah,
but yeah, she still acted like a teenager mm-hmm. a little bit more of the sarcastic, smarmy, talkbacky kind of teenager.
My favorite thing about her is that she drives everywhere.
Yeah, badly.
Yeah.
What do you think about the kind of overarching themes? I guess of. Maybe not themes, but I don't know what to call it, of pollution.
Pollution?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't remember it at all. There was people protesting pollution. That was a really funny scene when they're trying to talk to the protesters.
We're supposed to be dead. the whole story turns into the pollution story.
Oh, it does, yeah.
this is Palm Springs all over again.
How's this feel? It's really infuriating, right?
I couldn't help it. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who was the mum? Was she like the Supreme Court lady or something?
Not that far up. Attorney General.
Yeah, I don't know enough about American politics to know how far up.
It's like the equivalent would be Home Secretary. So pretty high up, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a cabinet position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does she want?
So she... Oh, you're asking me to unravel this purposefully confusing plot.
Yeah.
That's kind of my problems with whodunits. We talked about this with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, is that like I don't like misleads and weird things. Because for me, it's contrary to telling a story if you have a mislead.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, everything should like come together at the end. And this... does the best job it can, but still does a lot of misleads.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with misleads at this point is they're obviously misleads. It's so baked into the genre that you see it coming. So you instantly dismiss the first and second thing that is being presented to you. Mm-hmm. But the show doesn't seem to know that. The writers of these shows don't really seem to know that we're in on it now. as people watching.
Yeah.
And kind of skip past it.
I was aware since Scooby-Doo.
You kind of need to double bluff it, you know?
Yeah.
Present a red herring and then have someone else be, and then come back to the first person and be like, ha!
Well, the best version of it, I think, is in Hot Fuzz. Spoiler alert, watch Hot Fuzz. But it's like, oh my God, who's this murderer? Who's this murderer? The whole town is a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a funny way to do it.
That's been done a few times before.
It was done in, yeah, it was done like the Orient Express, is that?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a funny idea.
Yeah, I mean, I watched recently, there's a show on Netflix called Man on the Inside. It's okay. Made by the same people as A Good Place.
Spoiler alert.
You mean nerd alert.
Alert nerd.
Oh.
And it's 8 episodes. Episode 2, I was like, she did it.
And she did.
And she did do it, yeah.
I did call that they were in a bad place, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be the twist. But I thought they're going to drag it out more. I thought they're going to have like 4 seasons, and then it was like, oh, this is the bad place.
Yeah, I was...
We're spoiling so many things right
I didn't, now. Yeah, I didn't know it was the bad place, but that kind of blew my mind. But I'm glad they kind of... My biggest concern was, all right, where do you go from here?
Yeah, they did very well.
Yeah, they really kind of like twisted and turned that until it made sense.
Mm.
And it's one of the few sitcoms, I think you could call it a sitcom, really.
Sure.
That ended well.
Yeah.
That and The Big Bang Theory, that ended well.
Sure.
Regardless of your your feelings about the show itself, you know, it ended with him winning a Nobel Prize and saying thank you to all of his friends.
What did he win the Nobel Prize for bad comedy?
Physics. Because they're physicians.
Okay.
No, they're not. Physicists.
Physicians.
Shit. Really fucked up the dismount on that one.
I need to give you a Nobel Prize for English. Best English words. Rick Evans.
They're physicists.
What are we talking about?
Nice guys.
I've just foiled half the entertainment in the world.
Oh, by the way, in The Sixth Sense,
yeah,
Bruce Willis is...
So, yeah, you were asking about what the lady's point was, what she wanted to do.
Yes, yes.
So, I think if I remember correctly, what happened was she was prosecuting this case about a car turbulator.
Oh, the catalytic converter.
Catalytic converter.
Do you know what a catalytic converter does?
No.
It's a part of a car that filters out lots of the bad chemicals in exhaust fumes.
Okay.
Not enough of them. And they're full of precious metals. They're one of the most expensive parts of the car. People always said, like, see on TV where people get their wheels stolen and that. You're more likely for someone to just come under your car and steal your catalytic converter mm-hmm. and then sell it.
So she's prosecuting this case for a flux capacitor.
I think it comes down to the... Because every car has to have one.
Yes.
Because you can't drive it without one. And maybe around the time California didn't have them and they were trying to bring in the law.
Well, I got the impression they were like selling low quality or faulty ones.
Okay.
With cars. That was my impression. But maybe you're right. I know there was a... Part of the story was that lots of smog around. Mm-hmm. People talking about the smog all the time, and the smugglers, even on the radio, people telling you not to go out. It was weird. And so she's prosecuting this case against the car companies, but she was on the side of the car companies, so she was not doing a good job prosecuting it. So she was gonna let them go. And then her daughter got into the protests mm-hmm. against the car companies, and then she made this film, which was partially a porn film, of the names, what was it? Or something on the film that was incriminatory. It was like, I think...
You're incriminatory. Just because I can't say physicist. Now you got to show off.
I'll take your Nobel Prize for best English words. I think it was the names of addresses of people who are in on it.
Yeah, the people that were bribing her or something.
Yeah, oh yeah, that might have been it, yeah. Attorney General lady against her rebellious daughter at the end. And it's smog versus car companies. So does that make sense?
No. Oh. Yeah, it does really.
You just want to be a contrarian. Is this uncomfortable to be in frenury and a bit liking something for a change?
So there's a scene in this film.
Don't answer me.
So there's a scene in the film that they're driving down the street, and it's one of the another one of those parts where they just run into the answer, which I still wasn't a fan of. I wasn't a fan of it when they ran into the hotel, where they ran into this giant billboard. The billboard was like the made by
Sid Shattuck.
Sid Schatz. Sidney Schatz. It's what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the question for you. Even in 1977, do they have massive billboards for porn films?
Good question. I feel like in New York they would, because that was the seedy place.
Okay.
That was the disgusting porno feeder filled disgusting
but
place.
But still a billboard for a porn film?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, that's just lazy writing then, isn't it?
I don't know if it's lazy writing or just they don't take in the 70s culture too seriously. I've got a question about that as well.
Yeah?
Do you think they casually swore like this in the 70s? Like Ryan Gosling is effing and juffing everywhere.
Yeah, I think people have always done that, to be honest.
I don't think so.
I feel like they do. I feel like how much it's in films changes dramatically.
I feel like if people from the 70s listen to a podcast of today, they would be like, oh my God, they're so rude to each other.
You reckon?
I think so.
I don't think they would. I think it would be like, oh, they're very well-spoken.
Because he said physician.
Because you said indubitably or whatever you said a minute ago.
And ergo. Hey, I can talk like the architect from the Matrix too. And ergo, the ubiquitousness of nature. Can I say my favorite joke in the film?
Yeah, go on.
It happens twice.
Twice?
Yeah. You know who was just following orders? Hitler. You have to think about it just a tiny bit. Like, oh, wait, hold on. Now let's talk about...
The real star of the show.
The real star of the show. Let's talk about the best party 1970s can offer.
Yeah.
It's a big party scene.
It was the most expensive part of the film.
Yeah. There's a table that's a lady. I kept seeing in the background, it's like different scenes going on, and people put a cup on her, and it's like it just happens in the background like five times.
Yeah, there's a lot of like jokes in the back of this that if you watched it again and again, you'd probably get more every time you watched it.
Yeah,
like just when they turn up to the party, the girl walking by, she's talking to another girl and she's like, oh yeah, I told him if you're gonna do that, at least don't eat so much asparagus.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe's backstory comes up.
Oh yeah.
And doesn't come up again.
He kind of plays into his character.
Mm-hmm.
He started this beating up business because he was a vigilante at a diner scene where a guy wanted to rob a diner and he got shot, but he beat the guy. And then his arc is kind of rediscovering that feeling that he got from doing a good thing. Because he kind of comes across as like, oh no, I'm jaded now. I don't feel good about this. But him and Ryan Gosling's daughter's relationship kind of rekindles that. I was like, oh, well, I should do this for a good reason.
Even though he kills that guy.
He kills one guy and then he doesn't kill the last guy. That was a very shocking scene where he's like, just no comedy whatsoever. Yeah. It just chokes a guy out while he sends away the girl. I was like, oh, look for an ambulance. And he just chokes a guy out like for a whole minute.
I thought like, because Russell Crowe's whole thing is, once this job is done, I never want to see Ryan Gosling again. You know, as you would be.
Yeah.
So I never want to see him again. But then the daughter's like, if you do this, I'll never talk to you again. And he stops. So what's his intention there? Like,
he liked the daughter, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But he just likes her as a person.
Yeah, but they're never going to see each other again. If he doesn't want to see Gosling again, it's not because he hurt
her. Yeah, I think that was... You know, the movie starts out by Rusty Crowe's beating up Ryan Gosling. So, you know, but then they become quote-unquote friends or acquaintances. So, you know, those things can always change. And I don't think he was super serious in never wanting to see him again. I think that's just why he says, because he's annoying. Can I ask you a pivotal question? The biggest question. And you know what? I don't even care if this is 7 out of 10. I just care about one thing.
Go on.
What's better, this or Partners?
I think you know the answer.
Well, Partners came first, so
no.
This kind of ripped off Partners having
Oh my God, Partners is shit.
Yeah. The ending was very similar. It's so weird because they say in a diner, it's like Partners. It's like, oh, are we working together? Yeah, we're working together. And the Partners, they say, hey, Partners. The famous line.
Partners.
So Rusty Crows, he put on some pounds, some weight in this movie, but he conveniently sweats it off in like seconds when he has to do a somersault. That was funny.
Yeah.
Was that intentional though?
I don't know. It's one of those things you're never going to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Russell Crowe's stunt double is about like 4 stone lighter than he is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he genuinely like, jumps through a window and somersaults.
Yeah, twice. There's two of them. I feel like that's one of those things where Shane Black just like just laughs at himself while watching the dailies. Or like, that's funny to me and no one else.
What would have been funny if they actually got Russell Crowe to do it?
Or they get like a bigger contrast. Like a really skinny guy with like a bad wig.
Get Stephen Merchant to jump through the window for him.
Or a woman. It's completely different.
Let's get Macaulay Culkin to
different person of colour. Just completely different. There's one thing that bugged me a little bit in the story. And this was one of the misleads that bugged me.
Mm-hmm. Is it when they think they've all lost and then, ta-da, they haven't?
Not sure.
Okay.
It's a proper mislead. They were like on the case and everything. And then Ryan Gosling is like attracted to this lady who's the secretary of the attorney general. And she calls him up and is like, oh, I've got this money I got to deliver. And she doesn't give any details or anything. It's like, okay, we'll be there. We'll deliver the money. It's like all of a sudden it's like the Big Lebowski. You know, like I'm hiring you to deliver money for what? I did not understand for what. And it was just such an obvious mislead that I thought it was a bit too much.
I feel like they did explain that well enough.
Did they?
Yeah, I feel like they suspect their head woman of dodginess. And she's calling them for help. Oh, I don't want to be part of this dodginess anymore. She's just asked me to do $100,000 and I'm really dubious. I need a big strong man to help me out.
But for what?
For the leader's shady dealings, because that's what they want. She's giving him what they want. She's like, I'm going to give you $100,000 and you need to deliver it to the people you're looking for.
Okay.
So there you go.
Fair enough. Well, because I thought it was for the daughter, but at that time, Rusty Crowe's and Ryan Gosling had the daughter.
Yeah. I think the best part of that whole scene is when he falls asleep with the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And not just the fact that because I thought, that's a funny scene because he's fallen asleep at the wheel and he's talking to a wasp in the back seat.
A giant wasp.
A giant wasp in the back seat. But my favourite part of that is in the dream, Russell Crowe has like an ankle holster with a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ryan Gosling goes for it in the next scene. And he's like, oh, shit, I dreamed that. And it took me a little while to be like, oh, why doesn't he have an ankle ulcer? Oh, fuck, yeah.
Another funny thing that you'd never think it'd come back is Russell Crowe's Nixon story.
Yes.
Which even watching it now, even though I've seen it before, I'm like, that's not going to go anywhere. So, like, they just stop for a cigarette or whatever. And Russell Crowe just explains this story where Nixon, after he got out of office, he was driving around and they stumbled upon an accident. And then he was trying to help a guy who was dying.
Yeah.
And then he's explained.
Nixon said to him, you're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. Rusty Crowe says, like, what if like that guy thought that you see Nixon before you die? What if that's what everyone sees? Because it's such a weird thing, right?
Because
you just see the former president. And then Ryan Gosling almost drowns in this movie. And then there's Nixon pointing at him angrily. And he says, oh, not Nixon.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. That was just a hilarious thing they just threw in. I just did not see that coming in any way, shape, or form.
That was almost like at the end of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang when there's like a hospital scene. It's like, oh my God, everyone lived. And people come in from the movie that they died.
Yeah.
And then like Abraham Lincoln comes in. I've got one super nitpicky thing about the Nixon thing though.
Go on.
When Ryan Gosling is in the water and there's Nixon. Nixon has a badge that says elect Nixon.
Okay.
But he was out of office in the explanation. So he was fired already, or whatever they do in America. He was impeached already.
Yeah, it's an imaginary Nixon.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, when you imagine Nixon, you don't, you know, you probably do.
You do the hand pointy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine him in Futurama, where he's president again. Just his head. But his body is his old running mate, which is the guy with the weirdest name, Spiro Agnew.
What? That's what is his happening?
when Nixon, first term of Nixon, he had a vice president, and his name was Spiro Agnew. That was his name.
That's his name,
Spiro Agnew.
Sounds like it's like a anagram of something.
Yeah, and he was like impeached for like a completely different scandal, which is weird on its own. In Futurama, that's the body of Nixon.
Oh, really?
Spiro Agnew. Yeah, it's time to get our Spiros into some Agnew. He gave us it in so many ways.
What I really liked about it, part of this film, is where he starts to believe he's invincible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe that's part of this Dirk Gently thing, that he accidentally stumbles into things.
It's like a funny little explanation. Like, it's what they call putting a bell on it.
Bell on it.
You put a bell on it. If you write something that seems silly or seems unlikely, you know, your car drives over a ramp and through a window and it lands perfectly on the other side. If you don't want to just leave it at that and you want to kind of have like a knowing wink, you have the characters say to each other, like, whew, that was lucky.
Okay.
And it's putting a bell on it. It's like, you know, this is silly, but I'm going to acknowledge that in the writing so that, you know, I'm not taking it too seriously kind of thing.
Did you just teach me a writing word? My last note is, all Shane Black films take place on Christmas. Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Not sure about Lethal Weapon, Predator, no. But the ones he directed...
2 out of his 10 films are set on Christmas.
All the films he directed...
Okay.
...takes place on Christmas. And I think he forgot that that's his thing. And then at the end, it's like, oh yeah, it's Christmas. It's like, suddenly it's Christmas, you know? Okay. If you say so.
I have to say, I didn't like the end of this film. The last scene of this film.
Partners.
Well, first of all, it ends really bleakly. It's like, oh yeah, they went all to court, but they all got away with it. So that was a waste of time.
Wasn't the corrupt people outed a little bit?
They were, but the court, like the Supreme Court, dropped the case because they didn't have enough evidence.
Yeah, but...
So...
At least it was in the public knowledge by now, so that's something.
Like that matters. Come on.
It's. I think it's more of a...
ends in jail time, or they just get away with it and carry on doing what they're doing.
I feel like that's more of a sweet and sour ending.
I think it's bleak as fuck. They literally just get away with it.
Okay.
And then also what I really didn't like about it, and it probably speaks to my kind of personal complaints more than anything else, what I really didn't like about it is Russell Crowe seems to be some kind of like recovered alcoholic.
For
the whole film, he refuses alcohol. He makes a really strong point of him refusing alcohol for the entire film. And I'm like, cool. You know, it's a really interesting little plot point they've added where they've given a clue to something about a part of his personality, like with all the other things you said. And I thought it was interesting to put that in like a 1970s setting where, you know, everyone's loose and wild.
Yeah.
And he's very controlled. And at the end, he's just drunk.
That was his reverse arc.
He just falls off the wagon.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like that either.
No, it's just...
Yeah, that was super pointless at the end. I was like, why even bring that up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me like... Because it has this kind of like, look, this advert in the paper, we're going to be the nice guys detectives. And that works if Russell Crowe's the sensible... sober one and Gosling's the idiot drunk one.
Yeah.
But if they both just get drunk and turn up at these crime scenes or, you know, turn up at these clients' house both drunk,
yeah,
they're just going to fail. And, you know, in a year they're going to be homeless and that daughter's going to be on the streets.
Maybe they're role reverse because at the end, not the very end, but towards the end, Ryan Gosling does fake being drunk and there's like a little switcheroo whether he is drunk or not. And he fakes being drunk, so maybe he sobers up and he's going to become the straight-up pragmatic person. And Russell Crowe is going to be the fumbling idiot.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Cool.
Nice guys!
Nice guys! Watch it. It's funny. Watch it for the toilet scene alone.
There's lots of funny scenes. I think, though, maybe younger people would be bored by it. Because it's very old school in a way. Where the one thing, because you had your criteria... One thing I wasn't sure how you're going to take is that something always must be happening. Because I feel like a younger person would interpret this movie as a lot of, like, nothing happening for a while, you know? Because they just drive around and go to here and go to there. And I feel like in, like, today's cinema, it's too old school.
Yeah, what I meant by that is I don't mind if nothing's happening, but the plot's continuing.
Mm-hmm.
What I really don't like from the films, some of the films that you've recommended, is it just, you know, the camera just looks at a wall.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'll keep going back to it because there's nothing worse than Suspiria. You know, it just, it cuts from to a camera looking at a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing interesting about the chair. And then it cuts to the wall. And there's nothing interesting happening there either. Then it cuts to a close-up of a desk.
Okay.
And there's nothing there. It's like a pen.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that's what I mean. Like, nothing is happening in that.
Okay. What about the similar things in After Sun? It's very similar.
I still feel like something is always happening.
Okay.
You know, I think there are some scenes in there where nothing's happening, but there is, like, scenes where it shows him on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And the curtain's blowing and he's dancing on the balcony. Mm-hmm. The kind of expands on the character about, you know, where he'd rather be in his life and what he's dreaming of doing,
mm-hmm.
instead of looking after his daughter.
Okay. Anyway, I'm having bad flashbacks. Let's just end this right now. I'm hearing the Mortal Kombat music coming up again. Listen to the Suspiria episode if you want to hear more and more violent.
Cool.
So
nice, guys.
I'm just going to say... just rate it whatever you want. I've got more. I've got more in the chamber.
I genuinely feel bad, right?
Yeah.
I tell you for why. Because if we had have recorded this episode the day after we watched it, or even 2 days after we watched it, when I remembered it more, I would have given this film a 7.
Oh.
I would have given it. But because I forgot so much about it, and mm-hmm. it kind of showed me how instantly forgettable it was,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to go for a 6.
That's fine. I've got more ideas in the chamber.
Yeah.
Now
who can't speak English?
How do you say it?
Now who can't say physicist?
Perfect. Perfectly. I'm saying it right?
Perfectly. No. If it doesn't perfectly do this.
Yeah. So it doesn't perfectly match your criteria,
mm-hmm.
but I've got little ins. I got little ideas.
I feel like with this one, you got... hung up on that something must always be happening.
No, I hung up on everything. This was the all-in poker chips. Is like, but I've got things that just better for in different mm-hmm. ways. This was more like it fits everything, even all your criteria, even if you're not gonna like it as much.
I feel like, yeah, I definitely enjoy this film, and I stick to my one sentence review. I still think this is like the most suited for me film that you've. Advice, I thought, oh, fucking hell, what are words, man? Shit, me. That you've recommended.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That is perfect for me, film you've recommended so far.
I'll give you back your Nobel Prize for English words. Which is the title of the episode now, I think. I have to agree with you. I think it's a 6 out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah, even though I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And this holds up way more than Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Way more. And I think it's a very enjoyable put-on movie that you have fun with.
Yeah.
It doesn't have much staying power, unfortunately.
No.
And for me, the staying power is more about the... I never like these kind of detective stories. I just never like them. The reason I like it in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang because I feel like it takes the piss out of it. You know?
Yeah,
this one, it's not as much. It's more like a standard detective story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those kind of stories. And it's a big hump for me. But I, you know, the humor is amazing. We laughed so many times. I never heard you more genuinely laugh at anything we watched.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
We had lots of laughs at people's expense.
No, this is a very good comedy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bits we haven't mentioned in the episode because there's no point of us just saying this funny thing happened, that funny thing happened. But there are genuine moments in this that are hilarious.
Yes. What's next?
Right. So I mentioned it in our bonus episode that I really wanted to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Sea?
No, it's not Deep Blue Sea. Okay. Although maybe. Oh, do you know what? Yes.
Oh my God.
Fuck it. Yeah. No, why not?
What did I curse myself?
It was going to be the...
Oh, okay.
But no, Deep Blue Sea, as soon as you haven't seen it. And I tell you for why. I think this is going to be my partner's... this is gonna be my version of Fateful Findings.
But it doesn't work because I love those kind of films.
I'm hoping to have that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping this is going to be so bad, we're just going to sit there ripping it.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Might do another re-record the watch. Like
yeah,
partners.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, just to see what comes out.
Yeah, so Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Starring LL Cool J.
Okay, so it's got Stellan Skarsgård in it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, which Skarsgård is that?
It's the old Skarsgård.
It's the old Skarsgård?
Daddy Skarsgård.
How many Skarsgårds does it take to change a light bulb?
It's got, you'd recognize this guy, Michael Rappaport.
Oh, I know him.
Thomas Jane.
Oh.
Yeah, from the film you know and love.
The Mist and The Punisher.
Yep. And will someone keep out these motherfucking sharks in these motherfucking sea? Samuel L. Jackson.
So wait, LL Cool J is not in this movie.
No, he is. I was wrong. There are, believe it or not, there are two people of colour in the same film.
Samuel L. Cool J.
So yeah, quite a cast, actually.
Yeah, wow. When was it made?
1999.
Okay.
The famous year. The year that film exploded.
So do you think the director was like, I think Y2K is happening. I need to get this film out now before it collapses. Listen to our Videos of Memories episode. Sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/IHATEYOURMOVIE.
Yeah, you heard the advert earlier, but it will just remind you.
Yeah, because it's fun and it'll help you understand why we're watching a double episode of Cruel Intentions. Bye.
Bye.